97.5, The Fanatic.
9 o'clock, 97.5, The Fanatic, broadcasting from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast. Joe Torti, Devon Givens, 610-632-0975. Connor Thomas doing a great job producing the show. Again, we thank Donnie Carr and Michael Bradley. We heard from Anthony Gilbert from Hoops Magazine, who was a Philadelphia native, also knew the family as well. Kobe as well, during his playing days in high school and throughout the entire time with the Los Angeles Lakers. 610-632-0975. Anything really stand out to you? Just hearing those great stories, Mike writing about them back then. First basketball memory for you?
Well, so we were talking about it during the break. I think the first actual basketball memory, because the clearest basketball memory I have of him is playing as Kobe in NBA Jam. Like, that was the dude to have. I think winning the dunk contest at 18 is like the clearest. Like, he threw down some like the nastiest stuff, and like you described when he's coming in, you're watching him and you're like, this guy's all skinny, he's all elbows and knees, and then you watched him start dunking a little bit. You said, okay, I understand, all my questions are answered now. I think that was my clearest one. And when I first started really paying attention, be like, yo, this guy's got something going on here.
Yeah, he's got something going on. Remember when his rookie year in the playoffs against the Utah Jazz, the air balls.
Uh-huh. Well, he's fighting for 15 minutes a game or whatever his rookie year, man.
The air balls behind Eddie Jones. I mean, that's almost impossible. You can't get on the floor.
Yeah, exactly.
Get on the floor.
Good player then, no doubt.
Yeah, man. The air balls, he overcame that. Remember his face just being stone, and guys going over, putting their arms around him, like, listen, don't worry, you'll have your opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And
was the understatement of the year.
Did he ever?
Yeah.
Did he ever? Chris and Yardley, thanks so much. You're next on The Fanatic. Hey, Chris.
Hey, gentlemen. How are you this evening?
Hey, Chris.
I was 16 years old. I grew up in Bridgeport, which is part of Upper Marion, and I moved out. And a friend of mine called me and he says, you have to come to the basketball game tonight. And I said, why? And he said, Kobe. And I said, who the hell is that? And he said, you got to get here early. So I literally left where I lived, 45 minutes away. I get to King of Prussia. I'm walking into Upper Marion's gym and it's packed. And it looks like All-Star Weekend. I mean, I just couldn't believe it. And I watched Kobe Bryant. A man amongst children. It was like when you see like a 12-year-old playing with like a 6-year-old brother, and you're just like, wow. I mean, that's what it felt like watching Kobe Bryant play. And then the 76ers pick up Allen Iverson, and I immediately realized I could absolutely love to hate somebody who I knew was amazing. And that was the relationship that I as a fan had with Kobe Bryant. You just absolutely hated him when he was playing your team, but you could not in any way disrespect what that man brought to the court. And I know a lot of people, I actually called because you had a gentleman who called and said he grew up in Puerto Rico, and listening to him to describe what Kobe Bryant meant to him, it made me think of the people who are caught up in the detractions. Let's take away from, not right now, because right now there's a lot of people that are thinking about being 17 years old, like I was watching a man, as I said, amongst children. And then I got to watch on television, never got to see him play in the NBA live, only on television. But it was every time he had that ball, there was a potential for something really exciting. And we don't get that often, not to the caliber of somebody like Kobe Bryant. So to be able to reflect on his life right now, I think a lot of people are hurting. But I think what it does is it allows us to escape to a place and a time that was different, maybe better, maybe worse. But it allows us to go back to a time and to relive something. And that's a great experience. So I hope everybody that's caught in their feelings right now takes the time to really think about, you know, that special moment they had, because we all had it. Doesn't matter whether it was on television or face-to-face. Kobe Bryant made basketball special.
Thank you so much for sharing that, Chris. Really appreciate it. You had to get out there 45 minutes early.
Well, I mean,
the real deal.
An incredibly minuscule comparison to that. I mean, you'll remember this name, obviously, but like, my dad would drag me out to high school games every once in a while before I ever had any interest in watching anyone else play.
I could see that.
And he's like, you got to see this guy play. And I'm like, who? You know, why do I need to see this guy play? He's like, DeJuan Wagner. This dude's outrageous.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, whatever. I don't care. And that was like the first taste that I got of how insane people get over not just like high school basketball, but local high school basketball where guys are playing at elite levels. So you take DeJuan Wagner, who, you know, had a really good run in high school. Don't get me wrong. 100-point game and everything else, right? But that is such a small, like, little speck relative to what Kobe, with all due respect to Wagner, with all due respect, in the scope of Kobe Bryant's high school career, the legend that Kobe was at Lower Merion. I mean, I call games for Penn. Kobe in a Lower Merion jersey is literally plastered on the walls of the Palestra. Like, there's a museum around the outside of the Palestra, pretty much on the concourse, kind of showing all of the big-time coaches and players and everybody else there. I walk by Kobe Bryant in a Lower Merion jersey every single day that I'm going to call one of those games. So, I mean, like, you're talking about a larger-than-life Philadelphia basketball figure. That's Kobe, man. That's him.
That is him. 610-632-0975. And many have going out, including a few people called earlier to go to the Lower Merion Gymnasium, which is the Kobe Bryant Gymnasium at Lower Merion High School. Maureen in Wilmington joins us next. Hey, Maureen.
Hey, how are you guys?
Good, thank you.
I'm going to sound a little bit passionate. I hope I'm more passionate now. I thought about what you said, and what got my attention was you know, the Lakers couldn't suit up for Kobe, and I certainly didn't know him personally, but as an outsider looking in, you know, you hear all the bad things about the sports players, the domestic violence, the stuff that goes on. This guy must have loved harder than anybody in the world. Because when you think about the love that his players have for him, and you think about all you heard about his wife filed for divorce, nobody stops to think his commitment to stay married, to stay just so in love and to make it work, and to make everyone around him love him that much, he must have exuded love. He had to have. But nobody ever talks about the good things with the sports players. What about this guy's commitment? What about the love he showed?
And that's when we speak about him and the Mamba mentality with everything that he does.
It just amazes me. It saddens me, of course, and probably makes everybody sad. You hear all the bad stuff. But God, well-rounded, you know what a commitment takes? It's another job. He went above and beyond, made his family work, died, God bless him, with his daughter. And my heart feels I have, nor would I ever want to be in her footsteps. But nobody ever talks about the players that really do well. And it makes me sad because I don't think kids today hear the players who, yeah, they struggled. There was a bump in the road. There was a bump in the carpet. But you know what? He worked at it. And he must have worked harder than anybody. Because if his players can't put on their uniforms, and the love he had for his wife, apparently, and the commitment and the care, what's this world coming to?
Well, listen, thanks so much for the call, Maureen. And, you know, the tragic thing that happened Sunday morning. And we don't know what happened. We weren't there, and the investigations will continue as to what really happened overall. But just a tough wait for him to go. And we do not forget his daughter.
No, and a through line that goes through it is that, you know, everything that you've seen, video, stories, anecdotes, whatever. I mean, I think that his dedication to his daughters, I mean, to being a dad, that is legendary and completely unquestioned. You know what I mean? Like, there is nobody, no matter what else you might say about the rest of Kobe Bryant's life, I don't think that there's any doubt about it that from a dad perspective, that dude had it on lock. That guy had it handled, no doubt.
Yeah, man. How about we go to Josh and Lower Merion? How about that? Thanks, man.
Perfect.
Appreciate it, Josh. Thanks for hanging on.
Hey, man. How's it going?
Hey, Josh.
How's it going?
It's crazy, man, because I actually, I went to Lower Merion. I graduated in 2003, a couple years after Kobe. I never knew him, but he's our guy. You know what I mean? Like, not just Lower Merion, but like, that's Philadelphia, like, in a nutshell. You know what I mean? Like, you have so much pride and so much, you know, respect, love, and loyalty for this man that you know, when celebrities pass, it's a tragedy, but this one, it hit the whole city. And he never, aside from high school, he never played here. But that was our son. That was our boy. That was it. And, you know, as a father myself now, you know, what he did on the court, you can't, no one can question that. No one can take it away from him. But we're learning more and more about the amazing man and the amazing father that he was. And, you know, as a new dad myself, it hits so hard. I never got to meet the man, but it hurts, you know? I mean, it sucks.
Well, I mean, Josh, I think that's one of the biggest lessons that I think a lot of people are learning about this whole process is that, like, you don't need to have personally known somebody for their loss to make a pretty profound impact on you. I mean, I think that you're not the only one who's going through those very similar feelings right now.
It's just crazy how, I mean, he impacted, you know, I mean, obviously the nation with his play, but the entire city of Philadelphia, you can feel it. Like, you know, everyone has their head down today. You know, people are mourning. Dude, I was in, when the news came out, I was in Giant in Lower Merion, and I'm walking around Giant, and the employees there, they're all on their phones. They're all looking down. They're talking. It's like, oh, did you hear what happened? Literally, like, work stopped. The day stopped. Like, all these kids, they're there. Most of them probably go to Lower Merion because the Giant's right there in Wynwood. And everyone is just, you know, can this be real? How could this possibly happen? This larger-than-life figure is taken away from all of us. But worst of all, this man, this husband, this father is taken away from his family. And it sucks, man. It really sucks, you know?
It really does, man. Josh, thanks so much for sharing that with us. And we got Dave in Center City, Keith in Chester, Footy and South Philly, Mike and Jim, and definitely want to hear what they have to say about everything in regards to Kobe Bryant. I'm sure they have some stories. And a guy that I know very well, and you know, Joe Torti, and has some stories about Kobe Bryant, their friendship, and through high school and through the years in the NBA as well. Joining us on the Comcast Business Hotline from Hoops Magazine, a friend to our program, a friend overall, and a friend to Kobe Bryant, Anthony Gilbert. AG, thanks for joining us.
No problem, guys. No problem. How's everybody doing?
Hanging in there.
Yeah,
thanks, man. Absolutely.
Hanging in there. Yeah, so yeah. Well, yesterday, you and I had a chance to speak via text briefly, but when you first heard the news, where were you? Your feelings, of course.
Just disbelief. You know, I thought somebody was trying to play a joke on me. But then my phone, it was just going berserk all day. So I had to actually get to a point where I had to turn my phone off because I was getting so many phone calls and text messages. So, you know, I just took the time to really understand what was happening. And then I went from there to verify that information. And I just, you know, shut it down. Just shut it down. It's like, man, I can't believe it. And, you know, like you guys were saying, it's difficult to lose a person of that magnitude. And then also to know that, you know, his young daughter, you know, and others were a part of that, a terrible accident. So it just hits really hard. And, it is difficult to comprehend.
And can you share with the people just the relationship, where it started, and, you know, how everything got underway with you and Kobe?
Sure, absolutely. So I met Kobe in 1994. His sister was at Temple University, and she was on the women's volleyball team. And I just got my start in, you know, sports through that team. I had somebody that said, hey, if you want to work, we could use some help with the women's volleyball team. And I'm a big sports fan. And I'm like, yeah, sure. And Sharia Bryant was like the star volleyball player. She was the captain of the team, and she was a middle blocker. And I remember Sports Illustrated had her as one of the faces in the crowd. And like, she was a big deal. And I remember she was telling me about her brother. And I was like, I never heard of him. But yeah, well, he's pretty good at basketball. And I was like, well, he can't beat me. And she's like, okay, you said it. And then the next game, he's there. And he's like, hey, man, I heard you said you could beat me. And he's about maybe 6'3". And I'm like, okay, wait a minute. No, I never said any of that, you know, backtracking and, you know, I laughed off. But he was serious. He grabbed the volleyball. He said, hey, we could play right now. We were right in McGonagall Hall at Temple University. And from there, you know, a friendship began just because he was just so competitive and just so ready and eager to prove himself. And I was like, whoa, wait a minute. Let's rethink things. But never once did I think he would jump straight to the NBA 2 years from there. And then once he did, I mean, I was a kid. I didn't think he'd become this global icon and five-time champion and Hall of Famer. You know, because you're on the ground floor, you don't see that bigger picture. But once it started to come into fruition and form, it was like, whoa, wait a minute. And I just remember he used to tell me, like, hey, I just want to do everything and accomplish everything at a young age, you know, so he got married and, you know, at a young age, and he won his first championship at a young age, and, you know, won that three-peat at a young age, and he just really wanted it all. He had a competition with Rip Hamilton.
Yep.
And, you know, they go way back to AAU and battling against each other in high school. And I remember when Rip called him and was like, hey, like, I won the first, like, championship. National championship.
Yeah.
You know, because UConn won in 99, and Kobe was hot. He was like, I got to get it, you know. And after he came home after the Utah game with the air balls, you know, I'm thinking, you know, it's the summer. You play for the Los Angeles Lakers. Like, we're going to go hang out on South Street. You know, he had a Toyota.
The Land Cruiser. Yes, yeah. Sir.
And I was like, man, let's go hang out. Let's go post up on South Street. And he's like, we go to the gym. And you know where the gym was, the JC on. Yes.
Oh, City Line Avenue.
Everford Avenue, yeah. So he would go in there, like, and he would say, hey, tell me I shot all those air balls. And hey, talk trash to me. And, you know, he'd be pulling up from, like, almost half court. You know, nothing but net. But that's just who he wanted to excel. He wanted to get to the top of his field.
Yeah.
And, it was just crazy that I, you know, he included me and he's always given me access and interviews and, you know, he's definitely going to be missed.
Yeah. And I was telling the story earlier, Anthony Gilbert from Hoops Magazine joined us on the Comcast Business Hotline. The last time that I had my interaction with him was with you. When his it wasn't the last game, but I think it was the game before that where he was talking to everyone and Mike Missinelli had him on the side briefly after his scrum. And after that, he went and took his shower, I think it was. And then he gave you and I some time for a while. We just sat there and we just talked in the visiting locker room.
Yeah, that's how it is.
Yeah, because, and you know, just me bringing it up, stuff from when he was in my neighborhood all the time and how surprised he remembered, not surprised that he remembered it, but the fact that, you know, I was there, he was there, and he was like, man, you know, all that cool stuff. And it was, you know, just happened the opportunity to be around him in that way and seeing him from very early on in the side of St. Joseph's Gym when he was 16. I'm 17, and never did I imagine that he would turn out to be the guy that he, as you said, the global icon, the basketball icon that he has become.
Absolutely, man. And I try to, over the years, I've tried to let people know, you know, he's a amazing competitor. He's a fantastic athlete, but he's an even better person. Kobe loved to joke around, play around, loved to laugh, and you know, he wasn't as serious as people think he was. You know, when it came to basketball, he was all business, but outside of that, you know, super easygoing, fun-loving, and always, you know, cracking jokes. You know, I remember speaking to some of the guys after they came home in 08 with the Redeem team. And Carmelo Anthony and Dwayne Wade and LeBron James was like, yo, he's funny, man. And I was like, I told you. They're like, yo, no, Kobe, you know, we looked at him like he's Kobe Bryant. And they're like, but he's in there cracking jokes. But when it was time to go to work, he was ready to go to work. And yeah. I'm like, yeah, that's how he is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man.
You know?
Well, listen, man, we appreciate you taking some time in this tough time, of course.
Absolutely.
And remembering your friendship and, you know, everything, and condolences to the family. I'm sure that you maybe haven't spoken to them because it's such a tough time for them and so many people coming at them. But thoughts and prayers are with them, and we appreciate you sharing some time with us tonight, man.
Hey, no doubt, guys. Thanks for the opportunity, and, you know, keep up the great work.
Thank you. Likewise, Anthony.
Appreciate it. Anthony Gilbert from Hoops Magazine. Join us on the Comcast Business Hotline. Joe, I'll never forget it. I mean, you know, there was so many people in that locker room, like it always is when the big stars come to town, and like LeBron James on Saturday night. I didn't even bother going in there because Anthony was like, it is, you can't move. So,
yeah.
Okay. You know, and I just remember that night. Mike talked to him on the side. He brought up Laura Merriam because Mike's daughter was there. I believe she was a sophomore at that time, and Kobe's eyes lit up. And talking to Mike, and Mike mentioned the story about, he said, send a message to my teacher. I think it was the English teacher that Mike was speaking about. And afterwards, when everyone cleared out, the PR typically, you know, PR typically says, all right,
That's
thanks
it.
So much, appreciate it. We got a bus to catch and all that. They wait on Kobe. And Kobe took some time for Ant, pulled me in and reintroduced us. You know,
sure.
Again, I didn't know him.
Right.
We crossed paths many a times just from being in my area.
So you never got busted by Kobe.
And a mutual
friend,
I just never got busted by Kobe.
Okay.
I would have loved to.
Yeah.
I would have loved to.
In hindsight, that would have been an awesome thing.
It would have been pretty cool.
At the time.
Absolutely. So, you know, and just to spend that time and just remember that time now where we had a chance to talk and Anthony just reintroducing us and us talking about my neighborhood and different things, names that we're throwing out at each other, and we just sat there and we conversed.
Speak the same language, man.
Absolutely.
That's the same experience.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
And we loved the same game. He just loved it in a different way. And it took him really, really far, of course.
Yeah. That's true of 99% of the people that he played with in the NBA, too. So don't feel bad that he loved it in a different way.
Thank you.
These guys don't love it the way that he did either.
Exactly. And you know, that was one of his regrets, right? You hear that later on that he wished that he would have done more with his teammates instead of being stuck in a room looking at film and all of that stuff. I listen, and ironically enough, you just do it because you do it. You see Kobe Bryant's name. I listen to the All the Smoke podcast with Matt Barnes and Steven Jackson, and you can see it, I believe, on Showtime, I think it is, and Quentin Richardson and Darius Miles with their podcast and the Knuckleheads.
Mm-hmm.
And both of them had Kobe Bryant on them, and I listened to them just a little while back, and remembering now the things that he said, and now this happened.
Yeah.
I would encourage everyone to listen to both of those just to get an idea of Kobe Bryant a little bit different post Mamba mentality, but still having the Mamba mentality. Well,
and that's what we were talking about briefly with Michael Bradley, right? Is that like a tragic facet to this, one of the many, is that you get that sense that he had the self-realization that, like, all right, I don't need to bite off people's heads anymore, and I can be more of an ambassador for the game and more. You got the sense that he was more warm and welcoming than he'd ever been in his career, in his post-playing career, getting involved with, you know, all kinds of different productions in basketball media. I think that he was a rising star in that area, which is, it's disappointing.
Winning awards and
that's just one of the tragic sides to this whole thing.
Yeah, so Dave, hang on. Footy, Keith, Mike, and Jim, it's for you the rest of the way. No more guests. 610-632-0975. Thanks so much for hanging on. Thanks so much to Anthony Gilbert for joining our show. And that's Joe Torti. I'm Devon Givens. Connor Thomas producing the show right here at 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Back
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
.931 97.5 The Fanatic. Remembering Kobe Bryant here tonight. Joe Torty, Devon Givens with you till 10 o'clock together. Joe will run until midnight with Connor Thomas producing the show. 610-632-0975. Before we get to the guys on the phones, Joe, a lot of people have talked about some of the things that have been done in the NBA so far. L.A., Lakers and the Clippers tomorrow has been canceled.
Good on them.
Rightfully so.
Yep, good on them.
And Dallas Mavericks owner Mark Cuban has already announced that number 24 will be retired for the Dallas Mavericks. No one will ever wear that number for them again. And I ask you, because many have talked about this, we've seen the 24-second shot clock violations, the 8-second backcourt violations.
Ball on the free throw line.
Absolutely. How would you say would be the appropriate way to honor Kobe Bryant in the league-wide?
So my big thing is that I was just talking about the way that I think jersey retirement should go. And despite tragedies, I truly do think that jersey retirements should be something that, like, where the player literally transcends the game. Where the relationship that I think of is, think of like Tiger Woods in golf. Like Tiger Woods, when he retires, like, there's no jerseys. But if you're no, like, all right, nobody polos. Wears red on Sundays or right, whatever, right. I'd be like, all right, I understand. So like Wayne Gretzky, so far and beyond the best player. You know, I would have supported it with Michael Jordan, Wilt Chamberlain. I'm talking league-wide now. I think that it should be entirely up to the individual teams if they want to do that. Like we were talking Mark Cuban, it makes sense.
Yes.
The battle teams that you had go through, like the Sacramento Kings, I think would be great choices. I think the Boston Celtics would be really good choices. The Philadelphia 76ers. I think that it's a good thing for teams to do, because if a team wants to retire the jersey, in my opinion, it's more meaningful than if the league steps in and tells
sure,
you
gotcha.
That you can't have anybody else's jersey.
Okay,
you
know what I mean? And then the other thing has been the logo as an option, and Jerry West and the relationship that he and Kobe Bryant had. I'm pretty sure Jerry West wouldn't mind if now they moved on from him as the logo and now me, Kobe Bryant, the logo of the NBA going forward.
I initially didn't approve of this. Like when I first heard it, I said, is this a little bit reactionary? But then I started thinking about it. And Jerry West is 81 years old. He represents, for our generation,
the
like,
logo.
A legend. Like, mm-hmm. You know, that is a dude that you... You know, 25,000 point scorer, right? Like, it's a dude that you respect, despite having not seen the guy play. I think that would be a fitting tribute for the people who will grow up in the NBA now, who are 6 and 7 and 8 years old, the next generations of fans who, like me, you know, didn't really know the NBA mm-hmm. all that well when you were in first grade or kindergarten mm-hmm. or whatever. So to have to go back, because for me, I got a basketball education when I was like, who's Jerry West? And then you go back, you discover that era of basketball and who Jerry West was and what he meant to the game. And then you see what he's done since. I think that you'd get a similar education in the event that if you're one of those guys that age who now has to go back and be like, all right, what's Kobe Bryant all about? And then you see kind of the way that went out. So I think that would be a cool adjustment, knowing that the logo likely someday
is going to change.
Sure.
Yep. And whatever they do, take their time and just get it right.
Yeah.
Because then you have David Stern and his passing and what yes. do you want to do, because he did so much for the game. And Did you simply make a trophy named after them, like change Larry O'Brien Trophy to the David Stern Trophy or something like that?
Sure.
I don't know.
Would you be supportive of a logo change like that?
Something I would. Like I would certainly want to see what it looked like. I don't know if it would be the fadeaway, maybe, even though mm-hmm. Jordan did it, but Kobe kind of mastered it.
So you're talking about doing like the same kind of logo with a different silhouette.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So I'm intrigued by, you know, something else entirely. If they want to do not something that looks like a Mount Rushmore, but you got Kobe, Wilt, Jordan, LeBron one day, you know, like something like that.
Okay.
You know, I don't know. The NBA has incredibly creative people in their graphic design departments and stuff like that.
Yes.
Yeah, I'd be intrigued by that for sure.
Yep. 610-632-0975. Dave in Center City, thanks so much, Dave, for hanging on. You're on the Fanatic.
Oh, what a bad couple of days.
Tough. Really tough, Dave.
You know, big bravo to Rob Motti yesterday. He took rapid-fire phone calls one after another, and it kind of helped make sense of exactly what happened and, you know, how great of a guy this is or was. Gentlemen, I got to share one of the greatest Kobe stories that I ever heard. Devon, you remember the prestigious Narberth Summer League?
Yes.
It still may be in existence. I don't know. It had all the best high school, college, and even local NBA players in the league. So a buddy of mine, Mark Mulroy, who still holds the 3-point scoring record at Division II Wheeling, was on this team. So it's opening day, the league is starting. So the coach says, Mulroy, do me a favor. There's a 13-year-old kid going into high school, and his coach wants him to play on our team. We don't want him taking the bus. Take a ride down Montgomery Avenue and pick this kid up. So on this team, okay, they had 13 or 14-year-old Kobe, 17-year-old Kerry Kittles, I think Cat Mobley. Yeah. Katino Mobley, right?
Yeah, nickname Cat.
Cat, okay. And then my buddy Mark was on this team. From the start of the game, Devon, Kobe and Kerry Kittles are throwing each other half court, LU passes that are ending up in slam dunks.
And 13 years old, Kobe? Wow.
And everybody in the gym just had their mouths open.
13-year-old Kobe. Alley-oops. Yeah.
Man, I would have.
That's crazy.
You know what's difficult about this? When Dale Earnhardt Sr. died, big NASCAR fan, I took it very hard, but I knew that is the risk, and the drivers knew that is the risk they take. They could lose their life. But this is so sad. This is such a sad way to go.
It is, man. And thank you, Dave, for sharing that. And the helicopter was his form of transportation since his playing days because of where he lived, the L.A. traffic, and then even the story later on, just trying to get back in time to do things with his family.
Right. A lot of commitments in a lot of different places.
That was his car.
Yep, that's it.
That was his car. I mean, he drove, but
His commuter was the helicopter.
Yes.
There you go.
Yeah, and you hear other, like Will Smith would take the helicopter to different places out there and land the helicopter on the school grounds because he didn't want to miss his kid's football game, things of that nature.
I mean, that's what you do too, right? When you don't want to be late to the show, don't want to deal with 76 or whatever.
Pretty much.
Just hop on the chopper.
2-minute ride.
Yeah, no problem.
610-632-0975. Mike, Jim, Keith, and Footy, we got you on the other side. We want to hear your stories. Thanks so much for hanging on. Remembering Kobe Bryant tonight with Joe Torre, Devon Givens, right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
945, 97.5 The Fanatic. Remembering Kobe Bryant with Joe Torty, Divine Givens here on 97.5 The Fanatic. 610-632-0975. Final segment with us together, and then Joe will carry you until midnight with continuing the conversation. Always great listening to Joe on the way home. And let's go to Mike, Joe. Let's
yeah,
see
sounds
what Mike
good.
Has to say on The Fanatic. Thanks for hanging on, Mike.
Hey, how you guys doing? Tough day today.
Yeah.
I normally would give you a trivia question, but I think it's inappropriate for that tonight. So my thing is, I was never like a Kobe fan or, you know, but I'm a basketball diehard. You know, Jordan, LeBron are my favorite. But one thing, like, you got to respect and love about that dude is, like, his passion that he had for the sport. You know how you can look at some great players and be like, wow, they could have been this. I think that kid got every ounce out of his body, out of his game that he shared with us. So, like, certain things like that, like, you just got to respect and love a kid that has grown and became who he is. And like you were saying, Devon, like, I listened to Q Richardson and I listened to Steven Jackson on Pot, and I started to turn and like really just listen to what Kobe was talking about, and it like actually like changed me. So I started to like, yo, this dude, like, he a good dude. I may have not liked him as a player, his personality or whatever, but you start to listen and you like, yo, you just gotta respect and love a person like that. And sometimes you feel as though like the world, man, we just got cheated, because I think his second career, like, we would have really found how special of a dude this was. And then, you know, I coach youth sports, so I started to follow his daughter. And to see that she was, like, to me, I thought she was about to be great and special. And to see that she was one of those who passed away, man, like that hurts. I don't have any kids, but I went to my niece. I grabbed and kissed her and held her tight. And she was just like, Uncle Mike, I understand. She's 9 years old, and she's like a diehard sports and basketball fan. And it's like, man, sometimes you just gotta live life and just be passionate about everything that you do. Because like you said, that was basically like his mentality. I think I read somewhere he was the type where if you were questioning what you wanted to do or what you wanted to be, like, he wasn't going for that. Like, he was the type where he would want to push you and, like, tell you, like, yo, if that's what you want to be, like, you have to give every ounce and every effort of that to be great in life. I just thank you guys for giving me the opportunity to speak on that, man. It's like, when I first heard it, I was like, man, it's like, it hurt my heart. Like, people like that, man, are just like special in the world, man. You just got to cherish and love them.
Yep. Yeah, you bet, Mike.
Thanks, Mike. Thanks, appreciate it, man.
First thing that I thought of when Mike was talking about that,
mm-hmm.
And the effort and the intensity and stuff like that, Kobe Bryant might be the last one. You know what I mean?
Like, you're absolutely right.
We're talking about the era of load management, and I'm not taking shots at any one individual person here, but like sitting years out and waiting for the right opportunity and the right time and the right team and the right teammates. And like, literally, if you are turned off at all by the modern NBA player, Kobe Bryant was the last one to talk about what the hell's load management. I'm not ducking Vince Carter because my back's hurt a little bit. Like, he was the last throwback NBA player, the mm-hmm. very last one. It's a different league now, and I know I sound old and crotchety and stuff like that. I get it. But if you like the way that things used to be, where it was about cutting out the other guy's heart and everything else, and no matter what, you were going to go and give 110%. If you loved Allen Iverson for doing that, Kobe Bryant was kind of the last banner carrier for that here in the NBA.
Yeah, he was. And just because LeBron is a different era.
Yeah, sure.
Than
I
he
think
is.
So.
Yeah, yep, absolutely. From that one you're talking about.
Yeah.
Even Vince Carter is still hanging, but it's not the same.
No.
Not the same, because there were those questions of Vince Carter. You know, did he kind of, you know, when he asked out of Toronto.
This going situation.
To New Jersey and all of that. And people forget that Kobe did request a trade, but then he sat down with Dr. Jerry Buss and they
worked it out.
Worked it out. Yep. Absolutely. Because the reported deal at that time was to the Pistons for Chauncey Billups. Mm-hmm. I think a pick, another body, and his good friend Rip Hamilton.
Right. Yeah. And once he heard that deal, he was like, nah. That's not happening.
Yeah. Jim on the cell next on the Fanatic. Hey, Jim.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Okay, Jim. How are you?
Great. Just coming on here, you know, Kobe's one of my favorite players of all time. And, like, before, you know, I was, like, a little 9-10-year-old kid. And, like, Jordan just retired and was like, who's the next, you know, guy that's going to follow in his footsteps? And, like, going to 2010 when he went to the finals and, like, my favorite memories of him were, like, the first one was when he was bad his first three games. And in game four, Shaq fouled out when they were playing the Pacers. And I just remember, like, that whole story. Like, he said, I got you, big fella. And probably everybody in the world thought the Pacers were going to win that game. And then in overtime, he just scored 10 straight points and willed his team to victory. And the guy was just super competitive, and he was just unbelievable in basketball, just a pioneer for everybody, and he just set the tone for, like, all players that are, you know, that want to just be like him. Man, what a career. What can you say about him?
One of the greats. No question about it, man. Just one of the greats, and having seen him from the early times here and watched his career just blossom to what he ultimately became, just amazing how he touched so many people from the game of basketball.
Right, and just remembering him and Shaq, just as Shaq would always say, they were just the most enigmatic, most controversial, most dominant 1-2 punch ever created. And then when Shaq, you know, left and everybody said, oh, well, Kobe can't win by himself. Like, he was so angry and he just took it to a whole new level and, like, got two more championships, you know, won, you know, got 81 points in a game. Like, it's unbelievable. And then just to see him, you know, get 60 on his last game and then just say Mamba out just shows you how great he was. And, you know, his afterlife, his second career looked like it might could have been more successful than his first. I mean, he won an Oscar 2 years ago. He had his daughters all set up for everything. He was like a great family man. Just helped so many players. He looked like just one of my favorite players to watch and one of the greatest people on the greatest human beings on the planet. And we just lost a really good person yesterday.
Thanks, man. Appreciate the phone call. It looks like LeBron James is finally, not finally, but put something out when he was ready to do so. Joe?
Yeah.
You're on Instagram?
IG post. Yep.
Yeah. He says, I'm not ready, but here I go. Man, sitting here trying to write something for this post, but every time I try, I begin crying again, just thinking about you, niece Gigi, and the friendship bond brotherhood we had. I literally just heard your voice Sunday morning before I left Philly to head back to L.A., didn't think for one bit in a million years that would be the last conversation we'd have. WTF. I'm heartbroken and devastated, my brother. Man, I love you, big bro. My heart goes to Vanessa and the kids. I promise you I'll continue your legacy, man. You mean so much to us all here, especially Laker Nation, and it's my responsibility to put this on my back and keep it going. Please give me the strength from the heavens above and watch over me. I got us here. There's so much more I want to say, but I just can't right now because I can't get through it until we meet again, my brother. Hashtag mama for life. Hashtag GG for life. Mm. Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's tough, man. Yep. That's.
Called him.
That is heartfelt.
Called him the night that, you know, everything.
And I mean, like, not to make it not about Kobe, but, like, in there is literally the lesson, right, is that you will never have any clue unless somebody's on a hospital bed that this is, like, the last thing that you're going to say to them. You know, so, like, take LeBron's words to heart here, man. Like, the conversations that you're having, none of them are ever throwaway conversations with your family or your friends or your loved ones, whatever. You know, it's something I struggle with. You know what I mean? Talking to people and being tempted to glance at my phone or see what else is going on TV or whatever, and not being there 100% of the time. You don't know if there's going to be another time. So yeah, that's pretty powerful from LeBron.
And also Nick DePaula of ESPN, who's the big sneaker guru, says that Nike has pulled all Kobe products from its web store. A Lakers logo gift card is available as a related item right now.
I wonder why that is.
Just too much traffic.
I would assume demand is going to be high, but yeah. It seems like there'd be an opportunity for something with the family or some kind of situation that could be there. It seems like there might be some opportunity there for Nike.
Absolutely. And Will, Keith, and Ryan, thanks so much, guys, for hanging on. Joe Torti will take care of everything going forward. Joe, as always, man, thank you. This one was tough, but I'm glad you were right here to we could share this together.
Of course, man. Yeah, it's literally shocking. I that's what my tweet was yesterday. The people say that they're in shock all the time. First of all, having never been in shock or like not really meaning it. I've never been in shock. That was really, really close yesterday. I was right there. So it's going to be a tough couple of days here moving forward.
It will be. And I'll be back tomorrow, 6 o'clock. I'm sure we'll continue this conversation. This is the first game for the 76ers here in Philadelphia, his hometown, since the death of Kobe Bryant and Gianna Bryant and many others, that we mourn their loss. And our thoughts and prayers are with the families. Thank you, Connor Thomas. Thanks to all the callers. Thanks to Donnie Carr, Michael Bradley, Anthony Gilbert for jumping in and sharing some time and some great stories. And thank you, Joe Torti, once again. I'll talk to you later, man.
Yeah, sounds good.
Have a good night.
We'll continue these conversations, I'm sure, you and me, and then also the callers as well.
So. Absolutely. Thanks so much, everybody. I'll talk to you tomorrow at 6. Stay tuned for Joe Torti right here at 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.